I invite you to hear now these words from the 25th chapter of Matthew's Gospel. When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate people, one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will put the sheep at his right hand and the goats at the left. Then the king will say to those at his right hand, "Come, you that are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you gave me clothing. I was sick, and you took care of me. I was in prison, and you visited me." Then the righteous will answer him, "Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry and gave you food, or thirsty and gave you something to drink? And when was it that we saw you a stranger and welcomed you, or naked and gave you clothing? And when was it that we saw you sick or in prison and visited you?" Then the king will answer them, "Truly I tell you, just as you did it to one of the least of these who are members of my family, you did it to me." Then he will say to those at his left hand, "You that are accursed, depart from me into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not welcome me, naked, and you did not give me clothing, sick and in prison, and you did not visit me." Then they also will answer, "Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not take care of you?" And he will answer them, "Truly I tell you, just as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me." And these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. May God bless the reading and hearing of this sacred text. And he told the crowds all these things in parables. Without a parable, he told them nothing. These words come from the 13th chapter of Matthew, but they seem to summarize the whole teaching ministry of Jesus. Time and again in the gospel accounts, Jesus gathers his disciples or turns to the crowd following him on the road and addresses them, not in propositional assertions or creedal statements, but through the telling of stories, parables. A sower went out to sow. A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell into the hands of robbers. The kingdom of heaven is like a king who gave a great banquet. There was a man who had two sons. Parables startle us with unexpected revelations. They reframe our perspectives. They challenge our assumptions. They shift our priorities. As Will Willimon has written, to be a Christian is to be reminded on a weekly basis that we are meant to look at the world with different standards of judgment than those that operate in the world. Parables offer that reminder. The parable we just heard from Matthew's gospel is the last one. I mean that in two ways. It comes here at the end of the gospel, at the end of Jesus' life. It is the final lesson Jesus gives before the Holy Week journey that will lead to his crucifixion. And here at the end, as he closes out his earthly ministry, Jesus speaks of the ultimate end. He chooses this as his final lesson, his last lecture. You see, Scripture is clear that history and human life are not haphazard or arbitrary, that by God's design there is purpose, there is direction. There was a beginning. There will be an end. And so Jesus speaks of the end with dramatic effect, using the instrument of parable to describe God's plan for the culmination of creation. It is a scene of judgment. Now let me linger just a moment to consider the term. We contemporary readers of Scripture move very swiftly from the noun, judgment, to the adjective, judgmental. But I find that justification nowhere in the text itself. In Jesus' parable, judgment is not some parting insult, not some act of vindictive anger or retribution on his way out. Judgment is instead the shedding of a bright light on a truth that has been with us all along. Judgment is revelation, disclosing the trajectory of our lives in a way that we cannot avoid, obfuscate, or deflect. You see, in this final parable, all our disguises, all our distractions, all our defenses are discarded, and we are left with the unedited clarity of how our lives are spent. On this we are judged by the one on the throne. No tricks, no gotcha moments. Judgment is honest assessment of candid reality. In this ultimate parable, we are all gathered before the one who knows us better than we know ourselves. The light of truth is shined on the words we've chosen, the actions we've taken, and those we've avoided. That beaming light of truth is this, that all of us have been given ample opportunity to lead lives of mercy and compassion toward those in need. The choice is placed before each of us in our time. And how we respond is the great test of our faithfulness. Each time I read this parable of final judgment, I am struck not by the separation, but by what the sheep and the goats have in common. Both groups have encountered those who were hungry, thirsty, strangers, naked, sick, and in prison. And both sheep and goats raise the same bewildered query of their judge. When did we see you? It seems both groups were unaware that the judge, the king, the Lord appeared to them in the guise of human need. The sheep and the goats were equally ignorant of the divine presence in human form when it crossed their paths. And so I would suggest that this final exam in the school of human life is not a test of our religiosity. It is not a test of our piety. It is not a test of our ability to discern the presence of God in the messiness of human encounter. Neither group knew. Instead, the singular, simple, sincere question is this: how did you respond to human need? That's all. That's everything. When the light of God's judgment shines on the path our life has taken, this is what will be disclosed. When you encountered the reality of cruelty, the existence of injustice, did you act? When another human being stood before you in need, what was your response? When presented the opportunity to extend the compassion that God freely offered you, were you generous or were you tight-fisted? The parable suggests the accumulation of these decisions is what comes to define our lives. It's impossible for me to reflect on this particular parable and not think of Lena Cooper. Miss Lena, she must be well into her 90s by now. She's been a member of Vandalia Presbyterian Church in Greensboro, North Carolina for many, many decades, long enough to be the unofficial grandmother of members now in their 50s who have been hugging her neck since they were preschoolers. In addition to being opinionated and strong-willed, Miss Lena has been one of the most important teachers for me in the art of Christian living. Miss Lena, whose own children lived only into their 20s and had to be cared for as if they were infants for all those years. Miss Lena, who showed up every Tuesday morning of the world, rain or shine, to sharpen the pencils in the sanctuary pew racks. Miss Lena, who took pride in knowing the name of every child in the church, even those who only dropped by occasionally. Miss Lena, who delivered Meals on Wheels, sorted food and clothing at the Urban Ministry Center, packed summer lunches for children in housing projects. Miss Lena, who never missed a church workday, a bake sale, a car wash, vacation Bible school, or a fellowship dinner. Miss Lena, whose legendary pound cake graced the table of every memorial service reception. Miss Lena, whose car transported sick children, rowdy teenagers, homeless visitors, and a pastor whose own car lacked air conditioning. Miss Lena, on whose floor my sister and I played with empty baby powder bottles, creating domino trains all over her house. One year, I was the youth representative on the elder nominating committee, and Miss Lena's name surfaced as one who would be a perfect fit for the role of elder in our church. I was appointed to ask her to consider serving as an elder. Despite the warning from longtime members that she would never accept such a position, I took my charge seriously, and I sat down with Miss Lena and described what elders do in the church, and that we had prayerfully discerned that God might be calling her to such a position. I will never forget her response. She politely thanked me for asking, and then she said, "Chris, God didn't give me the gifts for that. I'll keep doing what I can to serve God and this church with the gifts I do have. So though I'm thankful, I have to say no to being an elder. I can only do the small things that are right in front of me. I'll leave the important work to the others." Small things like feeding the hungry, caring for the sick, speaking a kind word to a stranger, making children feel welcomed and loved, spreading compassion and warmth like light in every direction. Small things, small things. Small things like living the faith we all profess. "When did we see you, Lord?" You see, my friends, the point is that God never comes to us dressed up like God. God shows up in the messiness of the ordinary, the brokenness of the world as is, the dire needs that we've come to accept as normal. God comes in the unexpected, even the unwanted. God speaks to us in parables. Next week, we'll begin the season of Advent, a journey of preparation that culminates in welcoming the one for whom we've been hoping, Jesus, the Christ, the Messiah, the Lord. This week, we receive a warning not to look too far. For the one for whom we're waiting might already be present among us. Present as a perennial question that cuts to the beating heart of our faith. How will you respond? I was alone. I had no one in the world. My spouse had died. My children lived in another state. I stayed in that apartment all those years. Did you call? Did you come? I was in the state penitentiary, cut off from society for what I did. Convicted, yes, but still a human being. Did you visit? I was hungry. Peering into a world of Thanksgiving feasts and diets, I saw more food flushed down disposals than my family had to eat. Did you offer me anything from your abundance? I was without clothing. I gazed into shop windows, imagining the wardrobes of people like you. I waited for styles to change or children to outgrow last year's coat. Did you offer me anything to wear? I was a stranger. New at the job, new in the country, new in the city, new on the street, new in the building. I didn't know a soul. I didn't look like you. Did you introduce yourself to me? I was sick. Hospitalized. I was afraid of what the future held. The buzzing of machines around me was my constant companion. No one could come see me, did you call? Did you care? I was right in front of you, vulnerable, at risk. I was just a few miles away, a world away from your well-furnished home, safe street, not just a name in the paper, not just someone else's problem. I was right in front of you. I was your brother. I was your sister. I was your responsibility. I was your opportunity to live what you believe. I was the presence of God in human form. When did we see you, Lord? Thanks to the gift of this parable, we know the question on the final exam. We know who he is. We know where we will find him. In response to this parable at the end of Matthew's gospel, leaders of the church centuries ago sought to list the sins that we Christians ought to avoid. 7 of those were deemed deadly, sinister enough to destroy a person entirely. On the list, they included Acadia. Unfortunately, translated sloth, which calls to mind sluggishness or the way I like to spend a Saturday morning. But the more accurate translation is, in fact, the literal meaning of the Greek word. It is this: I don't care. It's a deadly sin. I don't care. This sin lies at the root of so much of what is broken in this world. The test of a human life is this: when you encountered the need of another, how did you respond? The test of a church under the lordship of Jesus Christ is this: when the Messiah comes to us in human form, do we seize the opportunity to act faithfully? Do we care? When did we see you? You know. You know. Amen.